Tonight, several developing stories. The coronavirus hits record highs. The stunning images tonight. The Supreme Court dealing the president a blow on his financial records. And the tropical storm just named as we come on. Warnings already up in the east. First, the virus tonight in the hot spots. Arizona now considered one of the world's largest hot spots. 34% of those tested now positive for COVID-19. Tonight, the families lining up since midnight last night, family members in their cars, including an 80-year-old grandmother in her mask, waiting for hours. The governor, who has not been seen in more than a week, just holding a news conference and what he said. The stunning numbers tonight and how closely they're connected to states that decided to reopen early. And 10 states now setting records for hospitalizations. The historic decision from the Supreme Court today about President Trump's financial records. Justices rejecting his claim of absolute immunity, essentially ruling the president is not above the law. The president's handpicked justices siding with the majority. And Chief Justice John Roberts writing the president is neither absolutely immune from state criminal subpoenas nor entitled to a heightened standard of need. But will the public see the records before the election? And the president now responding tonight. The newly released transcripts this evening in the police killing of George Floyd. Floyd telling police, "I can't breathe," more than 20 times. And what one of the officers said back to him. And the painting of the words Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue right here in New York City in front of Trump Tower. ABC News obtaining audio in the police shooting of Breonna Taylor, her boyfriend describing the moment officers broke down the door and opened fire and why he shot back. A police sergeant describing his version of what happened. The desperate search tonight for a well-known actress and mother, her four-year-old son found alone on the boat, what we're now learning. And just in tonight, that tropical storm named before we came on the air, warnings up along the East Coast, the Carolinas, and then traveling into the Northeast. We'll time it out for you.
This is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Thursday night. We do have a lot to get to. The Supreme Court and that blow to President Trump, he is responding tonight. That tropical storm just named, warnings just up in the east. But we are going to begin with the coronavirus because this is a worsening situation with cases now rising in 36 states, 10 states seeing record hospitalizations. And take a look at this graph tonight we took note of from the New York Times. The steep increase in cases since reopening. Florida up 1,300% in a matter of weeks. Arizona up 858% in cases. South Carolina up 999%. Texas 680%. Georgia up 245%. Many of these states opening early, some skipping the guidance, the steps from the president's own team. And the numbers tonight, more than 3 million confirmed cases in the U.S. Nearly 133,000 lives have now been lost. Nearly 900 more lives lost in just the past 24 hours. Florida's hospitals tonight under stress, and you're going to hear from the nurses now describing loved ones dying alone. In Arizona, one in three people being tested are testing positive. And look at this line. It formed overnight at midnight. Families in their cars waiting for hours just for a test. The mayor of Phoenix saying, "We're in a crisis. We need more resources." And the governor of Arizona, who has not addressed the public in more than a week now in that hard-hit state, speaking just moments ago. And so we begin with Matt Gutman leading us off.
Tonight, in car after car, the nation's COVID testing crisis on full display in Phoenix. A public health failure stretching as far as the horizon. Moments ago, Arizona's governor saying,
"I also want to emphasize that you are safer at home at this time."
Three generations of Kiana Cole's family parked in that line before 1 a.m.
Is it worth spending a night in a car with an 80-year-old? Yes?
I say yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, because it's our lives, you know, and the lives of our families that we have to protect.
People started lining up here before 1 a.m., and there's a reason for that. This testing site does not require insurance or an appointment, which is why this line already goes down for miles as far as the eye can see.
And those numbers. The Sunbelt states that may have reopened too quickly, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. This graph by the New York Times showing a jaw-dropping nearly 1,400% increase in average daily COVID cases in Florida compared to when the state reopened about 2 months ago. Dr. Anthony Fauci warning states with severe outbreaks should seriously look at shutting down, telling 538's Podcast 19 that some opened too fast.
Despite the guidelines and the recommendations to open up carefully and prudently, some states skipped over those and just opened up too quickly. Certainly Florida, I know, I think jumped over a couple of checkpoints.
More than a quarter of everyone tested in Miami-Dade testing positive. ICU beds are scarce and patients are dying alone.
One of the worst feelings of being there is seeing these patients fight for their lives and not having their families near them.
In Jacksonville, residents and business owners now suing to block the Republican National Convention from coming to the city next month. 10 states setting records for hospitalizations. South Carolina's Tylenz hospitals inundated.
We're at the maximum we can do. No beds in the ICU, no beds in the hospital.
Last night, we showed you video shot by the Associated Press. Medical staff at a Houston hospital trying to pump life back into this COVID patient's ravaged lungs. But they lost her. The woman's daughter says her mother got sick last month, about a week after her husband's funeral. She said many didn't wear masks. Late today, President Trump falsely claiming,
"We have among the lowest mortality rate anywhere in the world."
But Dr. Fauci presenting a different reality than the president.
But as a country, when you compare us to other countries, I don't think you can say we're doing great. I mean, we're just not.
All right, so let's get to Matt Gutman. He's with us live from Phoenix again tonight. Matt, we can see the cars, the tents there for that testing site behind you. Of course, hundreds lining up, and officials say it's not only the tests that they're waiting hours for, but that many people then have to wait more than a week for test results, which experts say presents another major problem here.
David, testing is the only way that epidemiologists can get an accurate snapshot of what's really happening. But doctors are telling us the system is collapsing. Now, they've administered well over 1,000 tests here today, but there are hundreds of people who won't make the cutoff. That means they and the folks are going to have to wait, as you mentioned, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks for results, are going to go back to their communities, possibly spreading the virus. David.
All right, Matt Gutman. Matt, I know you're going to stay on this. The president not seeing eye to eye with his top doctors on the virus. He's also fuming tonight at the justices on the Supreme Court. Tonight, the historic decision from the court about President Trump's financial records. Justices rejecting his claim of absolute immunity, including the two justices he appointed, likely clearing the way for prosecutors to get the president's financial records, but not Congress, at least for now. And of course, the other question tonight, will the public see any of this before the election? Terry Moran at the court again tonight.
Chief Justice John Roberts began the court's ruling with a ringing rebuke. "In our judicial system, the public has a right to every man's evidence," Roberts wrote. "Since the earliest days of the Republic, every man has included the President of the United States." On that point, the court was unanimous, all nine justices rejecting Trump's argument that he is absolutely immune from being investigated while in office. Roberts declaring the president is not absolutely immune from state criminal subpoenas seeking his private papers, and the public interest in fair and effective law enforcement must prevail. The evidence at issue here, Trump's tax returns dating back years and other personal financial records, which both New York prosecutors and Democratic-controlled committees in the House of Representatives have subpoenaed. Within minutes of the ruling, the president firing off an angry, aggrieved tweet. "Courts in the past have given broad deference, but not me." That's not true. Presidents Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton both tried to block court cases against them and both lost in the Supreme Court, like today, unanimously. And today, even Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, who Trump appointed to the court, ruling against him while offering a slightly different rationale. Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissented, but only on what happens next. Roberts' ruling sent the cases back down to the lower courts, where Trump can try again, but only if he makes far less sweeping claims about presidential power. The White House press secretary seized on that to try and spin a victory.
So that language made it pretty clear that this was a win for the president.
And this afternoon, the president seemed to have calmed down a bit.
"Well, the rulings were basically starting all over again, sending everything back down to the lower courts, and you start all over again. And so from a certain point, I'm satisfied. From another point, I'm not satisfied, because frankly, this is a political witch hunt."
But Cyrus Vance, the New York prosecutor investigating Trump, calling today's ruling a tremendous victory for our nation's system of justice and its founding principle that no one, not even a president, is above the law.
So let's get right back to Terry Moran live at the Supreme Court again tonight. And Terry, while the president was clearly furious all day long here with the court, it's still highly unlikely that the American people will see the president's tax returns before this election.
Exactly right, David. Under today's ruling, that New York prosecutor, he's likely to get a hold of the Trump tax returns, but for a grand jury investigation. And grand juries, they're sworn to secrecy. As for the House committees, they have to, under this ruling, go back to a court and show how the Trump tax returns are necessary for them to do their job as lawmakers, that they're just harassing Trump. The bottom line, as you say, if the public ever sees these tax returns, it's highly unlikely it'd be before those elections in November. David?
All right, Terry Moran, our thanks to you again tonight. We did take note today that President Trump's former personal attorney is now back behind bars tonight. Michael Cohen was taken to jail today after the Bureau of Prisons said he refused the conditions of his home confinement. He was allowed out of prison over concerns over the coronavirus. His attorney says Cohen was, quote, shaken by the decision to send him back. We're going to turn next here tonight to the chilling new reporting on George Floyd's final moments. Newly released transcripts tonight of police body cams reveal George Floyd said, "I can't breathe," more than 20 times. And one of the officers then said back to him. ABC's Alex Perez on this story from the start for us.
Tonight, chilling details of transcripts of body camera recordings revealing what George Floyd and the officers charged with aiding and abetting his murder were saying in his last moments. Floyd, at least 24 times, said he couldn't breathe and used the word please nearly 54 times. Officers Thomas Lane and J. Alexander King arrived after Floyd was accused of passing a fake 20. The moment Floyd is approached by the officers, he is apologizing. Nervous, he says, because of past experiences with police. "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." Adding, "I got shot the same way, Mr. Officer, before." When they try to move him to the squad car, Floyd tells them he's claustrophobic and reveals he had recently recovered from coronavirus. The documents filed as part of a motion in court to dismiss charges against rookie officer Thomas Lane, who maintains he was just following orders from the man with his knee on Floyd's neck, Derek Chauvin.
He did not have any knowledge that Chauvin was murdering this guy.
As Floyd complained that he couldn't breathe, Chauvin told him, "Then stop talking, stop yelling. It takes a heck of a lot of oxygen to talk." Some of Floyd's last words, the records show, "Mom, I love you. Tell my kids I love them. I'm dead."
David, the judge has issued a gag order for all of the attorneys involved. Lane has pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors have until August to respond to that motion to dismiss charges. David?
All right, Alex Perez. Alex, thank you. The message being painted along Fifth Avenue here in New York City today and right in front of Trump Tower, Black Lives Matter. Mayor Bill de Blasio and the Reverend Al Sharpton led the crew painting those words on Fifth Avenue. The mayor tonight saying the city is committed to the meaning of the message. President Trump, who has officially moved his residence to Florida, has called the painting of the mural there a symbol of hate. There's also news tonight about the shooting death of Breonna Taylor in her own home in Louisville. Tonight, ABC News obtaining audio, her boyfriend describing the moment officers broke down the door and opened fire and why he shot back. A police sergeant describing his own version of what happened. Here's Steve Osunsami.
It remains clear tonight that Louisville Metro Police were at the wrong home. And in a police interview recorded just hours after the killing in March, the boyfriend who survived the encounter says that he and his girlfriend, Breonna Taylor, had no idea who was trying to break into their apartment.
"I just let off one shot. Like, I still can't see who it is or anything. So now the door's like flying open. Then all of a sudden there's a whole lot of shots."
The 26-year-old was a local ambulance technician, a true lifesaver, and was killed when police returned gunfire. You see her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, being arrested here in the parking lot. They tried to charge him with trying to kill police officers, but those charges were later dropped. In another newly released interview, we hear from the highest-ranking officer who was at the couple's door trying to execute the no-knock warrant.
And do you remember the name of the target on the search warrant?
Not offhand.
His interview happened weeks later, and Sergeant John Mattingly told investigators he couldn't remember whose name was on the warrant or if police announced who they were when they first started banging on the door.
"You said you guys didn't initially announce?"
"No, the first bang on the door did not announce. I think after that we did. After that, each one of them had police come to the door, search warrant, police search warrant."
The boyfriend told investigators that one of the officers at the scene approached him while he was in police custody and called what happened a misunderstanding, admitting that they were at the wrong place. None of the officers have been charged. One has been fired.
David.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Now to the economy and American jobs tonight. 1.3 million American workers filed new unemployment claims last week, the 16th week in a row that number has been above a million. 18 million Americans are now collecting benefits. Of course, the coronavirus and how to revive the economy for all families afterward will be front and center this election. And today, former Vice President Joe Biden revealing his plan. Here's Mary Bruce.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Joe Biden today in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, touring a manufacturing plant and challenging the president on Trump's signature issue, the economy.
Donald Trump loves to talk and talk and talk. But after 3.5 years of big promises, what did the American people have to show for all the talk?
Biden ripped into Trump's response to the pandemic, saying he's making matters worse.
His failures come with the terrible human cost and deep economic toll. Time and again, working families are paying the price for this administration's incompetence.
Biden stopping by his childhood home in nearby Scranton.
Well, I couldn't come to Scranton without coming by the old house.
And outlining his plan for an economic comeback, including investing $300 billion in new technologies and $400 billion to power demand for American-made products, a plan Biden says will create 5 million new jobs and be paid for by reversing Trump's tax cuts for wealthiest Americans.
And the Trump campaign is now firing back, slamming Biden's plan and saying he would raise taxes on all Americans. But Biden says that's not true. The taxes would only go up on large corporations and the most wealthy. David.
All right, Mary Bruce on the campaign for us again tonight. Thanks, Mary. And before we move on, one more key ruling from the Supreme Court today, a victory for Native Americans, what many believe is the most significant ruling for Native Americans in decades. The decision recognizes nearly half of Oklahoma as Native American land when it comes to prosecuting crimes by tribal members because of a treaty from the 1830s. Justice Neil Gorsuch was joined by the four liberal justices. He wrote the U.S. must keep the promises it made to Native peoples when they forced them onto reservations. When we come back this Thursday night, the other developing headlines, the tropical storm just named before we came on the air, the new warnings up in the east, the Carolinas, then right up into the northeast. We'll time it out for you. And of course, the search for that missing actress and mother tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they have just officially named Tropical Storm Fay, forming late today off the Carolinas. Warnings now posted straight up into the northeast. Winds up to 45 miles per hour, up to 5 inches of rain expected. Rain dangerous winds from D.C. to Philly to New York tomorrow afternoon into the evening, and then hitting New England early Saturday morning. The desperate search tonight for a missing actress and mother in Lake Piru, California. Authorities believe Naya Rivera, best known for her role in Glee, drowned while boating and swimming with her four-year-old son. He was found on the boat alone. He told authorities they had been swimming. Finally tonight here, America Strong. We are determined to continue celebrating our frontline workers. But there's someone else just as determined, the guard watching over them. The frontline workers, the first responders at Kaiser Permanente Downey Medical Center in California. They have been working around the clock since the pandemic began. And every day after their long, grueling 12-hour shift, they leave. But there's been one constant, their security guard, Robert Johnson.
Good morning.
Robert's hands in the air, cheering, elbow bumps, and the smiles felt right through their masks. Since March, for 4 months, Robert has waited every day for the doctors, nurses, and the staff as their shifts change to celebrate them, to honor them. Tonight, Robert, right here.
Hi, David.
That security guard on why he does it.
You have the power with a smile to change a person's life. So if a person is feeling down or exhausted, you can bring life into their life.
He's a former sergeant in the Marines, and he knows the power of community.
I want them to know, look what you've just done. You've just completed 12 hours of work. Let's rejoice.
Hi, David.
And for NICU nurse Kelly Wilson, it makes all the difference.
Just seeing him just gave me that extra boost to get home.
And tonight, that team on the front lines in California with a message to every worker across this country.
Hang in there. They're not alone. All the hospitals are going through the same thing. Keep positive. Stay positive as much as you can.
We love that guard and those workers. Good night.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.